This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. All right, it's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi. Let's check in with Captain Cliff Webb, see what he's up to this morning. Morning, Cliff. What's going on down there, man?
Oh, man, just waiting on another front to come. It looks like today. It's all
got
all
one
good.
Today. Got a pretty good rip snorter coming Wednesday.
So. Yeah, I kind of like that. It's kind of foggy again here. I was just so sick of that fog last week. It kind of cut me out of some trips, had some cancellations. But this week it's been nice. You know, I just didn't have to deal with it. I had to deal with some wind, but I'd rather have the wind than the fog, I tell you, any day. You know, but had a really good week on big trout. You know, just had a good week on big trout. We had big trout every trip. I fished 3 days and the beginning of the week, I had your old buddy and Plog buddy Kelly Rising, those really good fishermen. You know, he owns this Sabine Lake record at 11 and a half pounds.
11 something.
You know, yeah, just really a good fisherman. But we started out Monday and we pop away first thing in the morning and on a shoreline and we start catching fish, but it just wasn't fast. A lot of just fish. We had like one 4.5 pounder, and it was just so. So we kept moving farther south, and every time we pop out, we catch fish, Mickey, but not a lot of big fish, you know, 4 pounds, and just fish, you know. Never could really get on a big roll with a real strong southeast wind, you know. It's so good to have really good fishermen when the fish is not real good, because you're still going to catch some, you know. all those guys caught fish, but I have them 2 days. The next day we made a really major move, and it was against my judgment and my brain. I'm going, man, it's blowing 30 miles an hour out of the south, and I'm heading down to the center of the bay out there in the middle of nowhere, and I got 5 guys in a boat, including myself. I said, this is going to be really tough to fish, but I've got a feeling these big fish are in here, because what's so unusual is we still have a lot of fish in 4 and 5 foot of water, eating shrimp and perch. We got all kinds of stuff. Our water temperature was 75 degrees early in the week.
My gosh.
You know, so we got stuff everywhere that we shouldn't have till April. So I said, man, I've never fished this place in February. Never. I says, but the way this pattern is, I'm going to go look at it. And we get down there, Mickey, and it's like 3 foot surf in there, you know. And Kelly goes, yeah, this is like fishing the jetties at home. You know, we fish this rough stuff all the time. And I says, man, if you guys can do this, but all four of you guys got to kind of stand in the center of the boat, because if this, I have to tie my drift anchor real short so it doesn't hang a rock, because we're in 6 foot of water and these rocks are coming within 18 inches to a foot to the top, some of them, you know. And and the water stirred up, and the only reason you'll see a rock, the wave will break and you'll see foam on it. So I'm short lining my drift anchor, and I'm going down there, you know, across these rocks, you know, and these guys are doing really good, and they're spreading out their cast. They're throwing, you know, swim baits. They're throwing Little Johns, you know, just variety of everything. And, man, we started catching big fish. It was just stupid. I just could not believe those big fish are in there, man. And I saw some mullet in there and some, you know, shrimp jumping, a couple slicks pop, you know, and we're catching 3 to 5 pounds, you know, good fish, solid fish, big ones, you know. And then I think Jimmy catches like a 6, 6.5, just a really nice fish in there, you know. And make a long story short, we stayed in that rough water and caught those fish, and just until we couldn't fish it anymore. It's blowing like 30 miles an hour. And you would have never thought that you could have even fished this, but I had very experienced fishermen. And you know, all I did was stay on the trolling motor with remote, and I'd see a rock in front of the boat, you know, just almost out of the surface. I knew we were going to T-bone it. So I say, hang on, boys. I'd gun that trolling motor, get on the other side of that rock, you know, and then someone would hang a rock. And so I'd get down and pull that off. But it was just like, if I couldn't have done it with a lot of other people. But, man, we ended up sticking some good fish. I think we had 2 or 3 over 5, you know, and then we had that 6-pounder. But just lots of 3s and 4s. And
yeah, good,
just ended up making
fish,
a really good day, you know. But
heck yeah.
And then we had to run out of there, Mickey. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we rolled out of that sucker, you know, and got out of there. But it turned out to be really good, you know. Then, of course, I got a trip on Thursday, and we just got blown out. You know, just that norther came, and man, I couldn't fish it, you know, so it just got blown out. So Pat, the guy that booked the trip, he's a listener forever, you know, and he's been wanting to fish with me. And I said, hey, man, I normally don't fish Friday. If you'll stay till Friday, I'll fish you, you know, Friday. So that was yesterday. So we hung out. Man, we're glad we did. We stuck some pigs, you know. So we I went down and I jumped up, popped out on the shoreline again to make a wade where I normally fish in February, you know, and don't get a bite. I'm going, what is going on here? This is stupid, you know. I got a few baits in here. The water's 54 now. I went from 74 to 54. You know, I'm on a mud pad here. I'm on a mud pad here, and the fish are still out in 5 foot of water. Like, what's going on here, you know? So we all pile back in the boat, and we head south down to the Tsunamiville, you know. But this time, I only got 2 guys in the boat. So, you know, I'm fishing two this time, you know. And I pulled in there, and Katie barred the door. Those big fish were still there, Mickey. And I got the opposite wind. I got a north wind now at about 15 going the opposite drift over top of these rocks. And I'm telling myself, well, look, they were in here at 74 degrees. Are they going to be here at 54 degrees? They were there at 54 degrees. It was nuts, man. So, but the amount of big fish we broke off in those rocks were stupid. I mean, you know, a lot of my guys still using mono, and those fish will make it like a 30-yard run, those big trout through those rocks, and cut you off. And they'll even cut you off and brain in there. In
oh,
break.
Yeah.
You know, but we lost some really toads in there. And I think Pat caught one about five and a half in there. Then I look over, and we let that fish go, and the very next cast, he catches that cast out. And I look at that rod, Mickey, and that water lute is bent from his hand to the tip of the rod. Huh. And you can just see that trout shaking his head. You know how that rod jumps to the tip? Womp, 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 you know? And that fish is shaking down deep. And here he comes the top. And right before he comes the top, that line goes over rock and pops him off. I'm just going, oh, I'd give anything to see that fish. I just wanted to see how big he was when he broke the water, you know? And then, of course, we had some reds moving there. And those, you know, 25 to 30-inch reds moved in there. So we caught a lot of those. But I've never fished that spot in February in 45 years. And those fish were in there in February, Mickey. What a weird pattern. They shouldn't even be there.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that strange how that works
it's
out?
Just strange stuff. What's going on here? This stuff. You think you got all this stuff figured out? You better pay attention to. You better pay attention to bait. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, you know, you start fishing areas where you always fish, and you know you caught them there last year at this time. Well, you know the temperature's not the same. The winter's not the same. So it's you just got to go find the bay. Go find them. You know, that's kind of what we did all week. We just went and found them. You know. But a lot of good fish this week, Mickey. I was impressed with our fishery.
That's good.
You know, didn't have any really big fish. You know, I think 6.5 was our biggest. But you know, numbers of 4.5, 5-pounders are fun. You know, those fish are fun.
Well, you know, you guys are fortunate. Y'all have a good age class, a variety of age class fish. You know, from pencils and dinks up to you know really good lunker trout. You know, big fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to have,
yeah,
man.
True. Yeah, and I heard a great story on you, man. It was so good. So, Pat, fish with you.
What'd I do now?
Oh, it's good. No, it's good. It's real good. I really enjoyed hearing it, man. It got the hair up on the back of my neck. I was ready to go fishing with you, man. But so he said one of the first guys he hired was you. You know, he's probably in his 40s, and I was probably many years ago, and he got a trip with Mickey Eastman, you know. And so he gets down there and meets you, get in the boat, and he said, I'm in the middle of the bay. And all of a sudden, Mickey goes, get ready, boys. And Pat goes, what? I said, get ready, boys. And you pull, there's a bunch of mud balls on the bottom out in deep water. And Mickey goes, these trout are in here with these drum. They're in here. And Mickey told me to get out in front of these mud balls. He said, I didn't know what I was doing. I threw down there, caught a big trout. I said, it was unbelievable. And we started catching these big trout in deep water on top of these mud balls. And he said, I didn't even know what a mud ball was until I met Mickey Eastman. But he said, you taught him a lot that first trip, that he really enjoyed
that's
fishing.
Good. I'm glad to hear a story like that.
Yeah, he said it was really cool.
Yeah.
That was catching.
Well, it's a lot of fun, you know, in the summer months when you got guys, you don't know them. You've never taken them before. You don't know how adequate a fisherman they are and whether they're going to be able to wade and do everything, you know, to be able to read the water like you should, to cast in areas to catch fish. And the thing about that, in the boat, you got everybody right there with you. And
yes,
you can point out things to them like, you know, if they got, you got to have good glasses, though. If you don't have polarized glasses, you're just, you know, you might as well.
Oh, that is so true, man. That's you know, what I see too.
You can
glasses,
see these little mud puffs and boils coming up, and a lot of them they'll look at all that muddy water and want to throw. And I said, no, man, you want to throw at the fresh ones you see popping up, and it's got clear water in it, and throw in front of that. And
that's a great tip right there.
And then they start slicking, and then you can grab your finger that you know where trout slicking off and moving in one direction. And then you just stay on them with a trolling motor and just it's unbelievable. I mean, I'd love to see that come back again. We just don't have those herds of fish like we had to create that situation, you know, like back in the day, or not even just a few years ago, really. But
yeah,
it's
and that's in the middle. That's in deeper water too. That's out there in the summertime pattern.
What I'll do is, you know, I've got an idea. You know, the areas that they like to lay up and sulk in. I think they're sleeping out there. They leave the reefs or leave the shorelines, and they'll just pull out deep and sulk and drift with the tide and all that. And they'll get teamed up with drum and redfish and gaff top, trout. I mean, all of them will come together in those big schools. Mm-hmm. And you just ride around. And I don't turn the key off till I see something, you know, that catches my eye, that looks promising. Uh-huh. Instead of wearing everybody else, you know, grinding and fishing dead water and all that. And there would be days where I'd turn the corner there at Cedar Point, Houston Point, and I would fish 8 or 10 schools like that up that west side, and then I'd fish 8 or 10 across the back, and then I'd go down the east side and fish 8, 10, 15 schools like that, and then come in. I mean,
wow.
You know, you fish them, and you go, well, these are all like 2 and 3 pounders in here. Let's move on, boys. We'll get some bigger ones in. And you keep doing that. That's how you find those bigger fish in those hotter months like that in that open water.
Right.
And by the time you make your big loop, it's time to go in. You just cut back across the bay and go to the house and throw them on the table and brag about them. Talk about what an awesome trip it was, you know. That's the fun part for me, is when you get in and everybody's just going, wow, that was unbelievable.
I love that stuff too, you know. And that was so cool about
like that in a while, man.
It's all right, man. You still got
to get on stuff like
that. Well, I hope you do, man. It's going to be an awesome year, Mickey. And it's so funny because
I know John's want me to come, and
I know it, man.
I've got some. I got some scrambling to do to see if I can get the right dates working so we can get down there.
I hope so, man.
Life short.
Yeah, it is, Bubba. You need to come.
Let me knock this
really
break out, buddy. I'll be right back at you.
All right, Mickey.
Hang on. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Rusty Hook Lot, Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda. You know, if you're looking for that ultimate outdoor adventure, it's a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda. And whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters also. So bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from 5-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40, and they can host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of 5-star reviews and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:20 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we back. And Cliff's not. This happens every week. Go ahead and get him back. Yeah, it was him fishing with that guy, talking about, you know, bringing up those memories of, you know, what we used to do. It's that'll kind of get you fired up, hoping for those days once again. Hopefully they shall return. I'm trying to be as positive as I can possibly be about things like that. So, but this is another year. Maybe things turned around. You got him back again. Hey, Cliff, we're back.
I don't know what happened. I'm here,
somebody call you or text you? And
No. It's just so funny because, you know, it's kind of foggy, but this island, we drop calls here on the island. We don't get calls. It's just weird, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, I hear that a lot down your way. Blaine really does go through.
I know.
It's unbelievable what they go through down there where he's at by the border.
Because if I don't call you back, I didn't get the call because I call everybody back. I'm real good at that, right. You know. But I don't get your call, I don't get it. So please call again. But anyway, it's all good. But I was thinking about what Kelly did was so cool. You know, Kelly's a good stick in the water. He's special. You know, he's a really good. He has a lot of finesse.
He's been doing it a long time, man.
Yeah. And on Monday, it got real windy on me. It was blowing 35 miles an hour. So I said, hey, man, I've been catching some good fish on these little spoils and stuff on these islands and stuff. And I pull up on the backside, the downwind side, and where I've been catching fish. And I got double power poles. They won't hold. A Danforth anchor with 30 yards of line won't hold. That's how windy it is. We don't even get out, dude. I can't even stick an anchor in there. I said, okay, we're gonna pull the plug on this. So I run over to the east side, you know, of Bath, and hardly ever fish there. And I get really shallow, Mickey. I get up there like less than knee deep. And I'm seeing some mullet popping there, and the water starts getting clear. We're up against that east side now, and it's kind of clear, you know. So I turn the bird dogs out, you know, and two or three
dogs.
Of them go. No, these
good
fish dogs, man, these are good. These are good pointers, dude. They're, and
trout
that's what's
dogs,
so good about
man.
Yeah, my trout dogs. But I'm so old now, I'll sit in the boat until they go on point. Then I go and fish, you know. Anyway,
right.
I'm getting smarter in my older age. But I got – so they're kind of walking this line about maybe pocket deep, waist deep. And I see Kelly go way up shallow. And I look, and, you know, he's tall, and he's way above kneecaps. He's like maybe a foot deep of water, foot and a half.
Right.
He's making these real long casts, you know. And he sees a little indentation. These flats have these little potholes indentation. He fires in that pothole. And I always watch, you know, you can just tell when someone sets up the body position. And
right.
I seen him lean to the side, and I see him stick a good, you know, I see him stick one, you know. And right when he stuck it, Mickey, it's nothing but white foam. It was so cool.
I'm
75 yards away, you know. And that fish is in like 2 foot of water, and he has nowhere to go but up. And it's like a 5.5-6 pound trout. And he's just smoking the top of the water, and he gets everybody's attention. You just see everybody's head just turn toward Kelly, like, what is he doing over there, you know? But it was so cool to catch those fish in that super, super shallow water. That is so much fun, you know?
Yeah,
but
it is.
Not, not a lot of people have that, you know, finesse where they can keep that bait off the bottom on in a foot and a half of water and you know, get out there far enough to catch them, because those fish are profiling you at that distance. You got to make a long cast. You got to walk slow. You got to do a lot of things right to catch one shallow.
Yeah, you do. You know, and that's the best. I've caught a lot of big trout in my day, and the best trout fights are usually in that 5.5 to 7 pound class. I mean, they are.
Yeah,
mean.
I agree, dude. I agree.
Man, they're strong. Yes. They just they got the whole package to fight, give you a good fight. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when they get so big, they're kind of lazy.
Yeah.
You don't get that
exactly.
That kind of fight out of them like you do in those 5 to 7 pound class fish. Man, I've hooked some that were like racehorses before, thinking, oh, my gosh, I got the one I've been looking for, and then you're disappointed. Mm-hmm. It's still a great fish, a nice fish, six pounds, but you're going, my goodness, I thought that
you
fish
thought he was 10, yes.
Yeah.
And all fish are different. All fish are different. You know, we're fishing those heavy rocks, and so we lost so many giant fish. We thought they were giant. They could have been 5-pounders hooked under the chin. But you can tell a trout bite. You can tell a big fish. And that's what's so hard about getting these fish out of the structure where I'm at, because you got a 36-inch drift anchor out, and you got your trolling motor down. So if someone hooks one at the end of their cast out there like 40 yards, you got 4 or 5 rocks between you and him. And so you can't get the drift anchor up fast enough, the trolling motor on top of the fish before he cuts you off.
Yeah,
ideal situation. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, ideal situation to fish in like 5-mile-an-hour wind with the trolling motor down and no drift anchor, where someone hooks a pig, you can run closer to him and short line him where he doesn't get on top of those rocks.
But right.
This place has haunted me for years. I've lost so many big fish in here, you know, and so many baits, you know, so many lures and stuff in there. But, you know, that's where they're at, and that's where you got to go catch them, you know.
But, gotta go in there and get them, baby.
Yes, and it's funny how I go back to the old days, Mickey, where I got in this rut here in my after a while where I always had to wait for the fish to come up shallow in the mud, catch them on corkies. Now I'm realizing sometimes you just got to go to them.
You got to go.
They're not
going to
come up shallow.
That's
you got to go out there in that 5 or 6 foot of water and get them. And sometimes
there's
they're not going
to
come up
they
in
won't
that
pull
flat.
In. You have to.
That's
go
it,
get
Bubba.
Them.
You know, and I get hard-headed about that. Oh, they're going to pull up here any day now. It's 3 o'clock, they're coming. No, they're not. They're staying out there another night. And so you just better get in the boat, drop the totem more down, and find that bait and use your electronics. You know, electronics are very important, you know, to be able to find your fish and get out there and get them. And even though it's really rough, and that's the problem is, you know, having people in your boat you don't know. So a lot of people, you can't go out there in that rough rock. They're not skilled enough not to fall out of the boat, not to hang, you know, so you're just wasting your time. You know, you gotta have experienced people to fish the really, really hard conditions. You know, I hate to say that, but sometimes you can't take some people out there where you know the fish are because it's just too dangerous on them, you know. But
I remember tournament one time 20 years ago or better. I mean, I had them nailed down. I had some open water, deep water fish that were just, I mean, if I can just get my 5 fish out of that school, I'm going to win, you know?
Yep.
And, we get up tournament morning, and it's blowing like a bear. And it was 25, 30 miles an hour, and that's a lot of wind for Galveston Bay, especially any kind of open water stuff you have.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, we pounded the shorelines and then picking and packing, and I said, man, these just aren't tournament fish, man. We're in trouble. And that wind backed off to about 15 to 20, and I said, we're going for it. They said, what do you mean? I said, we're going out deep. I said, yeah, we can stand up in the boat. We can catch these fish. They hadn't, you know, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And I make that long, rough boat ride out there in the middle where they were at, and I look up ahead, and it's an acre of slicks. I said, they're there.
Oh, that's
good stuff.
We slid
in there. Hey, I'm trying to run the trolling motor. I'm up on the bow, and I needed to be strapped down. I just knew I was going to go airborne on a swell and it pitched me off the bow. And I told one of the guys I had with me in that tournament, I said, hey, man, if I get thrown out, here's how you run this trolling motor. Turn it to the right to go forward. Turn it to the left to back up. Come get me, dude. I think we spent about an hour of that misery on those fish and pulled a rabbit out of the hat with about an hour left.
Wow, that's good.
Went to that's the way in. Stuff, and bingo. Here we go.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. But that's, you just, feel
you
good
just
though
have
when
to
you
go get them. You know, yeah. I mean, you, I knew they were there, but I mean, there was no way I could have fished in that in open water that morning. You know, we burnt the whole morning up, you know, trying to wait and find something good. And all we could find was 2 and 3 pounders, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I go back 45 years ago, the way we fished, you know, so we would, these cold fronts, we would just go deep all the time. We hardly ever fished the shoreline. So Ernie Butler, this commercial fisherman and all these guys
I
out here.
They, Ernie.
Yeah. So they would do nets in the winter. You know, they were commercial fishermen and all the guys back in the day, you know, back in the 60s stuff, they all ran nets. And they wait for these cold fronts and put these nets out in these deep, big, deep holes. One of the very best spots was the bombing target in the middle of Baffin and Bay. So they dropped these dummy giant concrete bombs in the middle of the bay, and they were just nothing but big old concrete. They made these giant pits in the bottom of the bay. And they put a bunch of poles around them and stuff and a lot of structure in there. And the water around it was 6 feet, and the holes were 9 to 10, 15 feet deep, you know. And we would drift over the top of these things with these giant six-inch red worms with three yellow spots at Jack McElroy. And we would just drift over and catch these giant trout. I mean, giant trout. And then, you know, that's the way we fished all winter long. You know, I mean, out there we didn't put waders on. We drifted all these big fish. And all of a sudden, you know, we started the corky thing up shallow, waiting for them to come shallow. We kind of forgot about the deep fish. You know, we kind of, there was enough fish coming up shallow during the winter, and it was so much fun to catch them on corky stuff. We kind of forgot about that pattern. Well, now I'm realizing those fish are still there. I mean, they hadn't changed their plan. We changed our plan. And so now, you know, even though the holes in the bottom of the bombing target are shallower and stuff, those fish are still in that muddy bottom. You know, they're still in there. If you can get in there and find them on electronics and come back around on them and get them, you know, it's they're still there. And I think a lot of these tournament fishermen are realizing that the tournaments are not always won waiting. Some of these tournaments are won out of the boat, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so these guys are figuring this out. You're seeing more and more of these guys that fish tournaments with trolling motors and things like that and fishing deep channels and stuff like that. You know, it's just you kind of got to go where they are, you know. it makes sense.
You do. You can't win unless you're on them. And you got to go get them.
Mm-hmm. And these great electronics they got now, you know, I have side scan and all that, but some of the electronics I'm seeing coming out is like incredible for deep water. Just unbelievable. Yeah. You know.
But, we've done just about everything you can do to catch fish in our lifetime.
I know it.
I mean, what's next?
I know it, dude.
It's kind of like equipment. How much better can you get than we have now? I just don't see.
Oh, those Bates reels, dude.
You know?
Man, I love my Bates reel. And what I'm seeing a lot in the boat, is I'm seeing the Bates reels on the Waterloo rods. I mean, almost all of my people are throwing Waterloos now. It's incredible how Waterloo is really come so strong. I've been with them since they started, and it's amazing how many people have discovered
Jimmy's
them.
Been sticking with it and, you know, just doing new innovation, staying ahead of the game.
Yes.
And
he does stay ahead of it.
He's established now, and people put trust in that. And it don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good rods out there.
Oh, there is.
Different brands. Everybody designs them a little differently. They put their gads in different positions on the rod blank itself. Pretty much all of them are using the new innovative blanks, and it's the way they set them up, you know. And I just can't get it. I'm just a cork man. I always have been a cork animal.
Me too. Yeah.
I've tried all the other stuff. There's just nothing better than cork. A cork animal, you know.
I agree. I'm the same way, you know.
That's my personal opinion on that.
Right.
Well, let me knock this opinion out on this break on some commercials.
Okay, I'll
come back to you, and we'll talk some more. Finish her off,
man. All right,
buddy. Hang with me.
All right, man.
Well, Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, you can look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to leave your bait than with their oxygen response system. It works great on tournament fish, too. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display, all their different size bottles, regulators, diffusers. And if you need more info, you can call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff seafood, no farm-raised at Boyd's, and their crawfish supply. I mean, everything you need. They got it right there at Boyd's and their Cajun Grill next door. They put out some really good food at great prices. Check them out at boydsonestop.com or call them at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:38 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, buddy.
We didn't lose you that time. How about that?
No, it's a good deal, man. I was thinking about that, those fishing shows back, you know, 40, 45 years ago when I did them, you know, how much they changed and stuff. But the coolest, one of the coolest things they ever did was they had this giant swimming pool, you know, those big blue swimming pools you kind of put together, you know, and it filled up with water and dumped a whole bunch of crawfish in there, like several sacks of crawfish. And then they give you a coffee can and a string with a piece of bacon on it for the kids. And they would stand around that swimming pool and they'd fill that coffee can up with crawfish, man. And it was the best babysitter we ever had at those shows because, you know, you're there 4 or 5 days, you're going to take the kids with you, you know.
Right.
And they get bored, you know, they've seen everything. They ate all the funnel cakes and they're trying, you know, so you have to have something to do. But we would fill those. And then my boys would bring that whole can of crawfish home, you know, and they put them in their room. And then I'd have crawfish in my boots and my shoes in the room. We'd smell them. I'd go, God, we got a dead crawfish somewhere, you know. It was so funny because those crawfish would crawl out. And I remember my cowboy boot was sitting in the closet. I kept smelling this thing. And it says, big old crawfish down dead inside my cowboy boot.
Oh,
so,
boy.
I had to fill the cowboy boot up with baking soda for about a week so I could wear it, you know.
Boy, charcoal and baking soda. Good
yeah,
Lord.
It was something, man. But, man, those shows have come a long way. We had so much fun at those shows back, you know, in the day. We'd go and hang out with the guides, and, you know, that was a lot of fun. I just can't do it anymore. I'm just too old, and I'm just too busy, you know. It's just, I would love to go.
Same way, man. It just, I remember the boat show. Boy, that was grueling, 10 days of that back in the day.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
I would never get a booth inside the Astro Arena over there where all the other guides were. It was just too I mean, you couldn't even leave your booth to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I know.
It was like,
you're so crowded.
It was like herding cattle through there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a booth way back in the back of the, you know, where the boats were on this corner, and the Rainbow Trout Pond was right across from my booth. And this is so funny. I'm not even going to name these fishermen's names. I don't want to embarrass them. Well-known bass fishermen. And we were all sitting around there in the booth talking and carrying on. And they said, man, we're going to go over there and fish in there. We'll show them kids how to pull them rainbows out of there. Well, they cheated. They went and got little pieces of cheese. And when the people running the thing wouldn't look, and they'd put it on the tip of that little fly you'd set down in there with a cane. And they're just... they were winching them out of there. Well, one guy finally caught on to it. He kicked them out. They all had to. He took their fish and put them back in there and told them to leave. That was so hilarious.
Oh, that's real good.
Well, in other words, bass fishermen, man. They're over there, you know, tipping their hooks.
Yeah, it's like an artificial tournament when guys got croakers. This is not right, dude. You know?
That's exactly right. And all those little kids were getting all frustrated and discouraged.
I know.
Watching these three grown men just winch all their old fish out of that pond. That was hilarious.
Oh, that's pretty funny, man. But they had some really cool stuff back then at those shows, man. And you look at how much things have changed on price of the boats. You know, now look at the average price of the boats at those shows now. Like, what? Yeah, it's just crazy, Mickey, how much fiberglass went up. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it really happened during the COVID thing, you know, when there was shortage of materials and all that. And it just, I mean, it's not anymore, but the prices hadn't gone back down.
No, they're making more money than ever. No, they're.
Oh,
and this guy's. Yeah, a guy said that, you know, you can sell a golf ball for a dollar. Why would you go back and sell it for a dime? You know, that's just the way it is, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to stick right there. And, you know, so but anyway, so I was thinking about all that fun stuff we had and, you know, all the people you met. It was so cool to get to meet so many different people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was listening to Sharky, too, and that, the, you know, your throat gets so tired of talking for several days. You can't even, you know, you just –
you got to talk to everybody.
Richard has still even got a voice. His voice gets harsh and, you know, raspy anyway. And, man, I can't believe he can still talk after being in there for 3 days now.
Yeah, I know it, man. But
back in the old days, that guy can talk.
Yep. And that's how you got your business, Mickey, back then. You know, you didn't have all the social media stuff. You had to go down there and, you know, talk to those people and talk them into coming down. And I'll never forget the coolers of fish we'd bring down there. Now, we'd be put in jail for what we used to do. Take those big coolers of 30-inch fish and open up the cooler and put them on top of ice and put saran wrap on top. And people walk by and see those giant trout and book the trips, you know.
Right.
God, it was just crazy what we did, you know. This man, you'd no more kill those fish down.
The way it went then.
Part of it, yeah. It's the part of it.
I mean, I wouldn't even stack a box unless I had all sevens and up, you know, 7, 8, 9 pounders.
Stupid how many big fish they were, you know.
Yeah.
But we had plenty of them, but anyway, so. And that's what I love about my fishermen now. They're so careful with their fish. Like the other day, Jimmy caught that 6-pounder, you know, on a big swim bait. And the hook was kind of down, and he's goozled. And they spent all this time perfectly getting that pair of pliers not to make that fish bleed and let him go. I mean, in the old days, you just reach down and rip him out and throw him over.
Rip it out and throw him.
Good luck, box. Good luck, buddy. You know, now we're so, you know, so yeah, put him in the box or whatever. Now, you know, we released everything, and then I think Pat yesterday and those guys, they kept 2 trout, and we caught a lot of those slot reds, like 26 to 27, and. They kept their reds, but they said, man, I hear you and Mickey talking on the radio how good these Bath and Bay trout are. I want to try them.
They are good. They're better than anywhere else on the coast.
Yes. And so they kept a couple of 18-inchers or, you know, 17-inchers, put them in a box. And then, and that's another thing. When I come in the afternoon, the marina is closed. I mean, it closes sometime in the winter at 3 or 4 o'clock. And there's no public tables to clean fish. It makes me crazy, Mickey.
I know. Isn't that aggravating?
Yes. It's all you know, commercial tables now where a fish cleaner has to clean your fish and haul the guts off. And so what I've done, I've got a table at my house now, so I just live a few blocks away from the marina. So if they want to keep fish now, we just keep them in the boat, pull around the house, and I'll whack them there at the house.
Well, that's what you did for me and David and Tony that time.
Yeah. You know,
so I left my stringer there.
Yeah. That's funny, man. Well, the things have changed. No, it's just totally different.
Have changed. Everything's different. But, you know, I watch a lot of this. You know, I keep tabs on everything. And, you know, you get these people that will catch a big fish now, and they'll haul it all the way back to the boat, measure it, get a picture of that, land it on the check it stick, and which isn't good. And then they're holding it up by its bottom lip, all that weight of that fish, holding, you know, on the bottom lip of that fish, and getting photos, and then the release photos and all that. I mean,
stress is on that fish a lot.
Yeah, how stressed out is that fish once he returns to the water? I mean, seriously?
You know, and I'm glad you said something about that, Mickey, because, you know, you see these people are starting to realize that. I've noticed a change in the last couple of years that, like, for instance, now I carry my phone in my waiter pocket. And I'm close to my clients, and when they catch that fish, I walk over to them, and we don't take it back to the boat.
Right.
We take that picture right there. We weigh it, and we take that picture right there and release it. And then, you know, I love how my guys, before they'd hold the fish up several times and look at it. Now they check it one time on the scale on the boat, or they keep it in the water till I get there, and they raise it up, put their hand under easily, take a picture of it, unsnap it, and let it go.
Right.
But that taking it back to the boat or putting it on a stringer and taking it back to the boat, I didn't realize how much that damaged the fish, but it does. You can't drag that fish around on a stringer for 30 minutes, you know, so you can get a picture of it.
Flow through the gills, you know.
And I think everybody's being more careful.
They're dead in my books. You stick them on a stringer, they're history.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's why I have birds.
They got these fish hotel things, you know, like the donuts and all that.
Yes.
That trout's swimming around in there and rubbing all up and, you know, against all that netting and webbing and everything, and they take all the slime off of them. And that's not good. Then they get back.
I noticed that, Mickey, because I had a guy that had one of those things, and he was pretty far away from me, caught a big trout, like 8 or 9 pounds. He put it in that thing, and I see him walking around with it. So I get over there, you know, I pull up, and I get over to take a picture. And when we open the bag up, the coating of the inside of the bag is full of slime.
Yeah.
Well, that's off that fish, you know, and that fish is whiter. He lost his coating there. We got a picture, you know, and you, when he's when he swims off, he has kind of a different color on his side because he's knocked the slime off. So
well,
once they get that blue color in them,
you can look in the photo and you start seeing that blue hue on the fish. He's done. His slime's gone, and he ain't going to make it. Mm. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So I don't know how to – what do you – I mean, I think the whole key to that thing is keeping your phone with you. And, you know, if you'll wait 50 yards apart from each other on a lineup like that, when someone gets a fish, one guy can pull in and take the photo
exactly.
of the fish.
Exactly, and get the photo and get him going. Exactly.
Get him going back, man. Get him going back so you can catch him again next year, you know. But,
how times have changed. I can't believe we're talking about, you know, the way to release fish now to save them.
used to just whack them and throw them in the ice chest. Hey, you know,
I mean, I'd have a big giant igloo, and if the head and the tail didn't reach from end to end, I wasn't very happy. I wanted them slabs in there, man.
Oh, I remember back when all the guys from Rockport and all that stuff came over with their piggy perch in the spring. We've never seen those piggy perch in Duane Park, and those guys come over with those trap piggy perch that were in a trap. They weren't drugging a net.
Right.
And they put them in a pen. They'd feed them trout roe, and these things were on steroids. You couldn't even hardly hold them in your hand to put them on a hook, you know. And I remember those guys coming in with these shrimp baskets, those orange shrimp baskets, and they stick those fish in there head first, and these big old tails look like fly swatters sticking up. And they could barely pick the basket up, all like 25, 28, 29 inches long. And just, they're going to the cleaning table, and nobody thought nothing of it, you know, so... it was so funny, but before the croakers and the piggies came around in the summer, you know, we caught them on top water, but we didn't realize how many big fish were in those areas around those rocks until they brought the piggies and the croakers out, because they eat those things like crazy in the summer, you know. So, but the three fish limit has cut a lot of that big fish stuff out, and the 20 inch limit, so now at least, you know, some of those fish are going to make it, you know.
Yeah, well, times have definitely changed, man.
Yes, but as long as we keep fish for everybody, I'm happy, Mickey. As long as, you know, we got these big trout for my grandson, I'll be so happy. If I can go away one day with my grandson and catch a big trout, I'm waiting. He's 8 years old. We're almost there, you know. So next year we'll pile those waders on and get on the shoreline. I want to. That's my goal, is to catch a big trout with my grandson, you know. Done it with my granddaughter. Now I want to do it with my grandson.
Young guys nowadays tell me, he said, well, it's guys like you and Cliff and Blaine and all of you killed all them big fish.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have them anymore. I said, man, that was cycles ago. That was dark ages ago.
Yeah. I mean, you think I killed them? What's Mother Nature?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but that's what we did. And it's true, but we whacked them, but so did Mother Nature, you know.
Boy, there's not a more disheartening feeling you get than, you know, after a big kill like that, and you see all that.
Yeah.
I mean, your confidence level goes right down the toilet.
Oh, I know.
You know, you just.
I remember the 83 freeze, you know. It was just like we couldn't believe what we were seeing. An 83, I just can't believe.
You guys down in 83, those photos back
then.
That
was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, incredible. I didn't know there was that many fish on the entire Texas coast.
Mean. Yeah. God. And that's when I moved to Port Aransas and became Captain Bobber. I went over there to Port A. He got me a popping cork and a shrimp. And I went from big trout guru to Captain
just
Bobber.
Just to catch anything, man. That's
catch
it.
Anything.
Put me a hop-o-matic on and just hope for something.
Yes,
kind of
sir, man.
Everybody.
Anything to pay the bills. Anything to pay the bills, you know. Because I couldn't get a real job. I was too stupid. So we had to fish, you know. God.
Well, after working for yourself and guiding for so long, how do you go to a real job? You know, you just
I know
it gets in your blood, and you know you're used to doing your own thing, your own schedule, and
You know, a real job, all your people that you work around is probably not your friend like you are when you're fishing. All these clients I've built up, they're all my friends, and I would miss them if I quit, Mickey. Those guys are just like, I can't wait till they get in the boat. They're just like, I'm meeting new people. I'm meeting new people, and I would never have met those new people. You know, at a job, I'd probably meet the same old people. But fishing, you get to meet some really cool fishermen. Like, I met those guys yesterday. Man, they've been listening to us on the radio for years, and I got to fish with Pat and the guy. You know, it's just really neat to hear all the stories about you know, and how it was back then, and how they got to fish with the guides, and they fish with Plog. And it's pretty cool, man. They fish with Martin. And he was the guys yesterday with Hubba Reynolds when he caught that 11.5-pounder. On that croaker in November. and talking about how many big fish they caught. But that 11.5 pounder was 33 inches long, Bubba, on a croaker. That's a monster.
That's a toad. It
is a monster. That's a toad.
That is a beast.
It's nice to know they're still around, man. And he let it go, so that's a good thing, you know.
That is a good thing. And it's, it just it's means more to me if I catch it on a, you know, a natural artificial bait.
Oh, yeah, sure. Just, it does. It does. I agree.
I mean, we're in the business to fool them, not feed them.
Right, you know, that's
nothing
what I do. I don't
anybody that fishes like that.
I don't have anything, but that's just what I like. I'm like you. This is what I want to do is artificial. And all my people, the same way, they wouldn't put a bait on to save their life. They just like to throw the. They like to play with all the toys they bought, spend all this money on this stuff. We got to do something with it.
They got to have something to do, man. They got to be
exactly,
checking and
exactly.
That's makes the day go better. And
it does, man. It does.
You know, and no offense to anybody that throws bait. Some people are just cut out for that, and they're not cut out to fish like we are. Like, we're not cut out to do what they do. So
that's it. I've done it all. I've fished everything.
I've done it all.
Fish cut mullet. I've just done it all.
I have done it all since the day I was born, and there's nothing better than catching fish on baits, artificial lures.
Yes,
for me.
I agree with you.
That's just my personal opinion.
And I'm lucky I have enough people that do that to keep me going. You know, I really appreciate them.
Well, you know, bait fishermen are a dime a dozen, but a real professional lure guide, they're unique. Mm-hmm. And you offer a specialty, and that's why people go with you, is to learn that specialty.
That's it. They want to learn some new technique and, you know, try to find new patterns and stuff. And you know, it's just so funny because all the guys I have now are so gentle with the fish they release, and there's no question if they're going to release them. Now, they might want a couple to eat, some small ones, but the whole deal is, you know, a lot of times I ask, do we need to bring ice? We keep anything? A lot of times they go, no, man, we got some ice in our drinks, and we're not going to keep anything, you know.
Right. That's it.
It's just a total different attitude now. They want to catch them.
Atmosphere now. You're right.
Catch them and let them go, you know.
That's it.
It's good.
Fish another day.
It's all good. Fish another day.
All right, brother. Well, Cliff, it's always fun, man. If somebody wants to come down and fish with you, give them a number so they can get a hold of you. I highly recommend it. You're fun to fish with.
All right. Thanks, Mickey. Well, I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Hey, man, get with John and get down here. And
I'm ready to throw some more 7Ms.
Get flogged. I'm dying to fish with James, man. You got to get James down here.
I know. Away, Blaine, too. You know,
Blaine, too.
We're not going to live forever. We all got to get together and do it, too. We need to get Jay in the mix, too.
Oh, that'd be something. All right, Bob. I know you're big. I appreciate you having me on, Mickey. Thanks, buddy.
Cliff, you take care, bud. Have a good weekend.
All right, man.
See you, man.
You too, man.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com. The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.